The election for the U.S. Senate seat held by Republican Susan Collins is more than a year away, but the nationally watched contest is already showing signs that it is going to be competitive and very expensive. We have brought in our chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, to talk about what the latest round of campaign finance reports show us and what else is happening in this race, which could determine who controls the U.S. Senate beginning in 2021. Steve, before you tell us some of the numbers, can you explain why we're even talking about campaign finance reports when the election is 17 months away?
Well, you're right that it seems odd to be focusing so much attention on campaign finance reports right now, but these cash figures actually help tell a story about this Senate race. The most obvious reason to talk about it is that these fundraising numbers really reinforce projections that this will be one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive, race next year. And there are a lot of reasons for that. If you pull back and look at which Senate races could change the balance of power, there are a handful of chances for Democrats to take control of the Senate, and this seat is one of them. Adding to that is a sense that Susan Collins, who has cruised to re-election three times since taking office in 1996, may actually be vulnerable next year. And a lot of that speculation is driven by the relative unpopularity of President Trump, who leads the ticket in 2020, and of course, some controversial votes Collins has taken since Trump became president.
You are specifically talking about Collins' vote to confirm U.S. Supreme Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh last year and her vote for the 2017 Republican tax cut bill, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Democrats really believe that those two votes, as well as others for anti-abortion judges, and what they see as an increasing unwillingness by Collins to criticize the president's conduct, they really think that that gives them an unprecedented opportunity to take Collins out. Collins has previously benefited from center-left voters and independents, but Democrats hope to make 2020 basically a binary choice. Do you want Susan Collins and Trump, or do you want somebody else? And that's why an array of progressive groups have already begun the effort of attempting to sandblast what is arguably her greatest strength, and that's her centrist reputation.
Okay, I know we're going to get into dark money in just a minute, but before that, let's talk about how the race is shaping up in terms of campaign cash brought in by the candidates themselves. What can you tell us?
Well, to begin with, Collins is showing that she won't exactly be defenseless. She raised $2 million between April and June, and that brings her total campaign haul so far to just over $6.5 million. Now, that's a lot of money, especially with 17 months left to raise even more. And for context, that's more campaign cash than Collins has raised in all but one of her previous congressional campaigns.
And is that kind of money discouraging to challengers, or are they doing well raising money as well?
Well, Collins has several Democratic challengers so far. A couple of the top candidates just got into the race in June, so it's not really an apples-to-apples comparison between them and what she's raised over the course of a year. But at least one Democratic challenger, Maine House Speaker Sarah Gideon, has reason to be optimistic. Gideon announced her candidacy in late June at the end of the reporting period that we're actually talking about here. But she still managed to raise over $1 million. And a lot of that was likely bolstered by the fact that national Democrats and aligned interest groups have come out and endorsed her, even though she's not the only Democrat in the race. By contrast, Betsy Sweet, an Augusta lobbyist who came in third last year in the Democratic gubernatorial primary, raised $81,000. That's not a lot of cash, but Sweet could get a boost in the next fundraising cycle.
Because?
Well, because last week, Justice Democrats endorsed her. That's the National Democratic Insurgent Group, partially founded by staffers from Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign. And Justice Democrats also helped New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez establishment Democrat Joe Crowley in a primary last year that really it was really a very big surprise to a lot of people. The three other Democrats that are challenging Collins, Bree Kidman, Jonathan Tracy, and Michael Bunker, will need to look elsewhere for more financial assistance. Only Kidman raised money during the last quarter, and it was just over $11,000.
So the upshot here is that Collins has plenty of cash, but at least two of her challengers are just getting started and are showing some potential to gain some ground.
Yeah, and don't forget that whoever wins the Democratic primary will likely gain access to over $4 million that's been raised privately to defeat Collins through crowdsourcing campaigns. But really, there's going to be a lot of other money spent to influence this race. I mean, some longtime Collins donors have already formed a political action committee to support her reelection bid, and liberal groups that can hide their funding sources are already spending money on digital ad campaigns. So at the end of the day, those groups could have as much of an impact on the 2020 race as the candidates themselves.
Now, if you want to read more about these groups and the 2020 Senate race, you can go to mainpublic.org and read Steve's story. Steve, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Nora.